It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC, including more coverage of the aftermath of Sandy. Hello, everybody. We will talk later about how you can vote in New York and New Jersey tomorrow in affected zones, or even today, especially in New Jersey, with some new systems being put into place, including email voting. But what we seem to have now around the tri-state in general is a region getting back to normal in many places, but with lots of inconvenience, gas lines and other things, and pockets that are truly disaster areas. Housing, heat, and help are all desperately needed in some locations in New York and New Jersey. Parts of the Rockaways and Staten Island are among the worst in terms of people needing basic comforts. Folks are being allowed onto LBI, Long Beach Island, for the first time today, but only to get their stuff for 30 minutes and go. Every hard-hit community has its own story. I want to open the phones right away for anyone in the Rockaways or an affected part of Staten Island. We'll do those areas first. And anyone who is involved in helping there over the weekend, we'll get to other areas later. Let's begin with Staten Island and the Rockaways. And actually, oh, I don't know what phone number I'm using today. what's our call-in line? We did get power back at WNYC over the weekend. Do we know? Okay, we're still using our temporary phone number, though, as not everything is back to normal here, and that is 646-829-3980. So if you were tell us what kind of shape you're in and what you and your community need on any part of the Rockaways or any part of Staten Island. Tell us what you did this weekend to help. Tell us what you saw in either of those places. 646-829-3980, 646-829-3980. You know, one thing we're curious about is what's working and what's not. Someone made a sign in the Rockaways I heard about telling FEMA to go do you know what to themselves. Another asking FEMA, where are you? One person I know went to the Rockaways just to volunteer and bring supplies and saw little in the way of government infrastructure and saw community-based grassroots organizations that were stretched beyond their capacity. So how does it look to you in terms of what's working and what's not on Staten Island and the Rockaways? 646-829-3980. Let's crowdsource the reporting on what's needed and how things are working. 646-829-3980. I know the Occupy movement has made it a central mission to get involved in person-to-person relief. 646-829-3980. 80. While your calls are coming in, WNYC's Richard Hake and New Jersey Public Radio's David First are here with some of the latest. Hi, Richard. What's up?
Well, good morning, Brian. You know, the big thing this morning for people to go to work is transit. And there's been long delays, long lines at many of the transit centers throughout the entire area. Now, yesterday it was reported that the MTA says 80% of the subway service is back to normal. It's easy to say when that's your line, but when it's not your line, for instance, the L train is not running, the G train is not running. We have a lot of disruptions. We have a lot of congestion trying to get into the city. WNYC's Jim O'Grady was earlier at the foot of the Williamsburg Bridge, where he says there's a long line for buses into Queens to catch the number 7 train.
And this line is probably the longest of them all. I saw a guy walk up to the line, say, "Holy God, looks like I'm working from home today."
See, now on the flip side of that, I took the 6 train down this morning. Mm-hmm. It was actually a better commute than usual.
And I took the 1 train down from way, 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 way uptown. And at like 6:30 in the morning, it was absolutely jammed. I always get a seat at that hour. It's absolutely jammed.
So it's kind of depending upon where you are, depending upon which line you're near, that's how the service is coming back.
David?
Well, a lot of delays today in New Jersey as well. Long waits for emergency bus service. Long waits at the Lincoln Tunnel this morning. People waiting for the ferries. We're talking about communities that feel forgotten and left behind and that nobody cares. Life seems to change almost at the flick of a switch when your power comes back. And for communities who are still in the dark and in the cold, it's hard not to feel like you've been forgotten, and sometimes very hard to get accurate information. It's scary, it's cold, and you do feel like you're you're just being left out there with no one there to help you. And roughly right now, 779,000 homes and businesses in New Jersey remain without electricity. So the good news is that utility crews have restored power to more than 2 million customers, but that's still a lot of people.
And poor people always get hit harder. I mean, that's just the way it is. Poor communities with fewer resources, fewer options, poor people always get hit harder. But this is a crisis that is certainly cutting along class lines. I know a guy in a very, you know, affluent area of the North Shore of Long Island who is old. He's on oxygen. He doesn't have power, hasn't had power for a week now. He's cold. He's miserable. He's sick. And he's not sick enough to go into the hospital, but it's absolutely horrible for him, and he's scared about his health.
And this is a storm that as we've been reading, has hit the elderly very hard. Lots of very, very sad stories that we've been seeing over this past week. I should mention I was visiting at the Community Food Bank of New Jersey yesterday. They're distributing over 100,000 pounds of food daily to families that have been displaced by Hurricane Sandy. Speaking with Phyllis Dunlop, the vice president for resource development at the food bank, and she explained to me where the food is going.
It felt really good, especially with the group of friends that we're with, to be able to come together and, you know, be here and celebrate and just, you know, forget for a little bit, just for a few quarters. So.
Well, that's people at Giants Stadium who were happy to watch three good quarters of football for Giants fans yesterday. But the food that is getting to people is getting to people in shelters in hard-hit urban areas like Hoboken and Jersey City. And here's the tape of where the food is going.
For the most part, we're dealing with the urban areas that have been kind of the last to get on the power grid. We're sending a lot up to Menaki and Little Ferry, where people have just been, you know, devastated and are living in shelters because of the flooding and the lack of power.
So this is food getting to people in shelters in urban areas like Hoboken and Jersey City. And they're also responding to daily calls from places with real immediate needs.
And Brian, I also want to add, here in New York City, city officials, state officials, the governor, the mayor have been concerned about all the people who are living in shelters as well, who do not have homes right now, especially because of the weather. It was cold last night. It's expected to get even colder this evening.
Ouch.
City and state officials say tens of thousands of people are without adequate shelter because of damage and power outages. Here's the mayor saying that they may need to stay in replacement housing for a while.
Some of the bigger buildings, particularly some of the NYCHA buildings, are going to be out of commission for a very long time. The magnitude of the problem is we think we could have something between 30 and 40,000 people that we're going to have to find housing for.
Now, Richard, that blew me away when I heard the mayor say that yesterday.
That's a huge number.
30 to 40,000 people who they're going to have to find long-term housing for. In a city that has a chronic housing shortage and certainly affordable housing shortage to begin with.
And you would assume that this number will go down once the power is able to be returned to buildings, because that number also includes a lot of people who live in some of the NYCHA buildings out in the Rockaways. Even here in Manhattan, there's some NYCHA buildings.
Is that all it is? And not to minimize being without power for maybe up to a couple of weeks, but when he says long term, I'm thinking he means something longer than that.
Well, I think it's more of, you know, not just Con Ed flipping the switch, but the actual infrastructure for the power to be delivered to these buildings was destroyed, especially out on the Rockaways.
Uh-huh, right. And we have City Council Speaker Christine Quinn coming up later in the program, who's on Staten Island right now, and we'll ask her about what that 30 to 40,000 long-term housing replacement number actually means.
And we have to add to that, too. The governor yesterday said that this is the same in Nassau County. Still 161,000, you know, not people, customers, which represents a few
families, households,
or a building, are still without power.
We have, I think, WNYC's Beth Fertig, who is just back from Coney Island. Now, as many of you know, Beth is our education reporter. And yes, the schools are open in New York City again today for kids and teachers, but not all the schools. And Beth, hi. Tell us what you were looking at this morning.
Hi. I am in Brooklyn. I was at PS 100, which is called the Coney Island School, even though it's technically in Brighton Beach, just over the line. Principal Catherine Maloney had told me that she only expected 3 out of her 70 teachers to be absent today, and that seems to be what happened because they live in New Jersey, Long Island, Staten Island, and those teachers who didn't come in, they had very bad situations at home where they were either flooded or they lost their homes, but the rest of the staff really rallied, and the children and their parents were very, very happy to be at the school this morning. I met parents who still don't have power. They live largely, this school is surrounded by big apartment complexes that are either the middle-income Mitchell-Lama projects or Trump projects that are private residences nearby, big, tall apartment buildings. Some of them now have heat and hot water and electricity again, but a lot of them don't. And so I met parents who were saying, you know, it's really cold in my house. I've been staying with friends in other places, but I wanted to bring my child back to school today. We're staying so we could bring our children back. And the school had tried to become as welcoming as possible. They opened their cafeteria for parents to come in and stay warm because these are a lot of people who still don't have heat, and they were serving them coffee.
Are there extra services set up to help kids or family members who are having a particularly hard time educationally?
The school, the principal told me, Catherine Maloney, that she has either a guidance counselor or a school psychologist, I can't recall right now, or a social worker who is going to be helping out. She didn't think she needed an extra support. But what she was concerned about is she is going to be taking a few kids who were evacuated from other areas, because if a child is temporarily relocated, they can go to whatever the new neighborhood school is. And so, in fact, I saw a six-year-old girl being enrolled in first grade this morning. Her mother had fled the Rockaways because their house, they own a house in Bell Harbor, which was flooded. She was showing me photos of the flooding in this house. She was on her way to meet with a FEMA inspector, in fact, to talk about what she could do to get reimbursed. And so she was very happy to be able to enroll her child at PS 100 because she's now staying with her father who lives in the neighborhood, and so she had a school for her daughter. But she has an older daughter who needs to go to a middle school, and PS 100 is really one of the only schools in the area that's open. A lot of junior highs and other elementary schools in Coney Island are closed because of building damage. And so the principal, Catherine Maloney, was telling me that she wants to try to set up some collection of maybe school supplies or materials that they could fax for elementary schools that are relocated to junior high schools in other parts of the city where they wouldn't have the right curriculum supplies and support. So she wants to try to get additional material to them.
It sounds like it's going to be a logistical nightmare for some students. Again, it's pockets,
yeah.
But those who are being hit hard are being hit really hard. Richard, we had the chancellor on the station earlier today, right?
Yeah, what we do know now is that 65 schools are actually closed in 57 buildings. Don't forget, there are a few schools sometimes located in one building. And for those students, they're expected to return to the classroom on Wednesday, but they could be moved to other buildings. They will be moved to other buildings. And the school's chancellor says the situation could even still be more complicated.
This has been a major tragedy and something that had been unexpected, obviously, and so there may not be enough space for an entire school to be located in a new site, so we may have to split some of the grades.
And we also had the mayor telling parents to dress their children in warm clothes because some schools still won't have heat, so they're actually sending kids to buildings that are open that still don't have heat.
And David first?
Yeah, a lot of schools without heat and electricity in New Jersey as well. Roughly 800 of New Jersey's public schools, approximately one-third of the state's public schools are open today. And as those schools start to open, that's going to be a huge sign of life starting to get back to normal as people are just, you know, living, so many people living with friends and family in hotels and shelters.
Only a third of the public schools are open. So that would mean two-thirds of the public schools are still closed in New Jersey today.
That's right.
With what criteria that would allow them to open or not?
Well, I know just in my town, some of the schools have power, some of them don't, and they're trying to, with the elementary schools, is it fair to open one of the elementary schools and not open all the other elementary schools? So high school might be open in town, the elementary schools might still be closed, and it's really looking for power and heat, but also safety issues with so many downed trees and potentially live wires still on the pathways leading to a lot of schools.
All right. WNYC's Beth Fertig, education reporter, thank you. And we still have Richard Hake from WNYC News and David First from New Jersey Public Radio. And we've been asking for calls, particularly from Staten Island or the Rockaways, if you live there or are from there or if you've gone there to help. How are things? What do people need? And how are the emergency services infrastructures functioning? Is government doing anything? Is informal grassroots network of help functioning? Eloise on Staten Island, you're on the air. Hello, Eloise. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
What's up?
Well, I went to volunteer last Tuesday, the day after the storm, at Susan Wagner High School, which is one of the evacuation centers on Staten Island. They took my name and my phone number, and they called me back yesterday.
And that's frustrating.
So I, like dozens of other people, went down to the beach to help on my own. And when I got down there, I asked one of the police officers, where should the volunteers go? And she had no idea. And she got on the radio, and what the answer that came back was, just jump in.
Just jump in. Did you see a sign of government coordinating things?
No. I spent all day in Midland Beach yesterday helping family, friends that we have there, and the only people who came by were El Centro, which is a organization which helps, which coordinates day laborers, and they were offering their services free of charge to people who needed a help, you know, help clearing out their homes. There were no government agencies there.
Thank you very much for reporting that. Let's go to Robert on Staten Island. Robert, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi. I'm Robert Asari. I own a small business in Staten Island. I have a martial arts school, Domo Kyoku Martial Academy.
Uh-huh. Which section of Staten Island, may I ask?
My business is on Island Boulevard, but I live on by the ferry, so I didn't get hit that much.
Right.
But I took all my students, and we went to Midland Beach yesterday, and we volunteer working. But the funny thing is that when you go and you see the police officers and you ask them, where do we need help, where can we go, they have no idea what's going on. They have no idea. Like, they don't even want you to go in. They throw you back and forth. So we took it up on ourselves. We knock house. We go to door by door. We clear one house. Then we go to next house. We clear that house. You know, so we did that until some of the students get tired. And I took them home. I get shower. And I went to Wagner High School. Stayed there all night volunteering at Wagner High School. We really need help in Staten Island. It's like, The people who are supposed to take in charge, they don't know what you're doing. You know what I'm saying?
Was anybody coordinating? Was anybody from the private sector coordinating?
I don't see nobody from the private sector coordinating. I don't see nothing like that. I see individuals. I met some people from Brooklyn. I met some people from Queens. People from different people places come, different boroughs to come and help us. You know, but I don't see I don't see nothing. You know what I'm saying?
I do.
All that you see is the police car driving. Where with their siren on? What are they doing? They're causing too much traffic by driving around with nothing.
Robert, thank you very much for checking in. And so great of you to go from one part of Staten Island that wasn't so affected to another part of the island to help. David First, did you want to add something there?
Just thinking about that previous call, so frustrating. We're told when we're thinking about volunteering, everyone wants to help out in these times, and we're so often told not to show up at beaches and disaster areas where the government workers and FEMA and many trained volunteers are working, because suddenly here they are dealing with the additional problem of being overwhelmed by well-meaning volunteers who all of a sudden may need to be fed, may have gas shortage issues. So I get that. But when you're hearing these stories about places where there is no help and there is no organized effort, how can you not have that instinct?
David First from New Jersey Public Radio, WNYC's Richard Hake. We'll check in with you later.
Sure.
We'll continue to take your calls from Staten Island and the Rockaways. And we have disaster relief and planning expert Erwin Redlener in the Rockaways, who's going to join us next and talk to some of you. 646-829-3980. Our call-in number again today, 646-829-3980. Our coverage continues. Brian Lehrer on WNYC as we continue to talk about the aftermath of Sandy. We'll get to election week stuff later. Jeff in Manhattan, who spent time on the Rockaways this weekend, you're on WNYC. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
First, I want to just commend your coverage of the of this whole thing. Your show and the station, it's just been truly outstanding, keeping people informed of everything that's going on.
Thank you.
So, so I was out in the Rockaways both Saturday and Sunday, making food deliveries from certain hubs in Brooklyn and Queens, and dropping it off, and then just staying out there and helping people just clean out their houses. And the pictures don't even describe how really bad it is. I mean, just like the whole boardwalk and parts of it just completely blown away and blown four blocks down, and you know, and blocking streets, and it's just incredible.
How about the people? Because it's in a way, it's a tale. I don't want to say a tale of two cities. It's a tale of two types of need, and of course, we're all, you know, incredibly shocked by the devastation to the buildings, to the homes in the Rockaways, Breezy Point, and elsewhere, and all around our region. But there are also people who are actively in need right now of warmth and food, even water in some cases. Did you see that where you were?
Well, yeah, actually, what I saw firsthand was the Occupy Wall Street crew that I got tapped into really had a great ground game. They were very organized. They set up hubs in different parts of the city, and then they were shipping things specifically to Rockaway. I know they were doing it to other parts of Brooklyn and Staten Island, but I'm more familiar with Rockaway.
Mm-hmm.
And they were going. They had drop off points at different parts of Rockaway, and then they had volunteers at those drop off points, literally taking a lot of the things and going door to door to homebound people and delivering it to people. I was driving up and down streets letting people know that there are these places where they can go to get water, get food, get clothing. There was so much clothing out there. I mean, I really hope that a lot of it doesn't get wasted because there's been a huge outpouring of clothing. In addition to the Occupy Wall Street organization, grassroots organization, there were a lot of churches that had things set up in front of the churches. I met people that were coming in from Long Island, from other parts of Brooklyn. There were a lot of people that were coming to help their friends and family that had houses in these areas to clean out their houses. So, you know, actually, it seemed to me that there were a lot more volunteers and people that were not from the Rockaways out in the area of the Rockaways that I was than the people that were actually living there. I know that a lot of those folks were, you know, dealing with trying to get insurance claims taken care of and things like that. What I didn't see a lot of evidence of was the Red Cross. I didn't see a lot of evidence of FEMA. I asked people, did you see anybody from FEMA? They said, oh, they passed through here a couple of days ago. But the biggest presence is the Department of Sanitation. Those guys are doing a heroic effort. They're going 24/7 out there.
What are they doing specifically?
Well, they're just cleaning out all the debris. I mean, like, all the people are just throwing out everything in their basements. They're tearing sheetrock out of their off their walls in their basement. They're throwing out all their possessions that are waterlogged, piling it up in the streets. In addition, you have all the debris from that's been washed up from the ocean, and the whole board, literally the boardwalk, was just ripped up and blown down the street. So that's blocking all the streets. So the Department of Sanitation is in there with forklifts and front loaders, yeah, just cleaning up the streets, and then they're hauling all this stuff off. I just saw it just before the Gil Hodges Bridge. There's this huge dumping site where they're just hauling all that stuff there for the time being. So they're making a big effort to clean the streets and make the streets passable.
Jeff, great report. I really, really appreciate you calling in and giving us all that as we continue to crowdsource with you the reporting of what the conditions are on Staten Island and in the Rockaways for now. We'll get to other parts of the area later. But for now, still, Staten Island and the Rockaways, 646-829-3980. And what we've heard from our first three callers is consistent with what I've been hearing from other people in the last day or so, and that is that there is a surprisingly little amount of government or Red Cross presence there, and it is from the less organized and in some ways the least among us, from El Centro, the Organization of Day Laborers, that we heard about before, from the Occupy movement, which is by definition not organized, and has been some of the Occupy people telling others, I was told, don't go and find somebody to volunteer to dispatch you with. In other words, don't go to some central somebody who looks like they're in charge. Just go start helping people. Just go start offering yourself. And those are the people we're hearing about getting stuff done. And I guess the least among us, when you talk about city agencies, the sanitation department, New York's strongest, getting out and doing the physical lifting, and their presence is being felt. For a different view, John in Inwood, that's Inwood, Long Island, not Inwood, Manhattan. Right, John?
Yes, sir, Brian.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, and I'd also like to thank you guys. Really, you've been a beacon during these times. I wanted to comment on some of the claims.
And that's really, and you kind of get included on our Rockaways thing because it's really just past Far Rockaway out on Long Island in Nassau County, right?
That's correct. We're the westernmost town in Nassau County that borders Queens, Far Rockaway.
There you go. For people who don't know that, Inwood.
Yeah, and what I wanted to say was that there have been claims that I've heard that a lot of the power being off is specific to certain areas, socioeconomic in particular, and that's not the case. As one of the generating power plants located in Far Rockaway also supplies some of the towns in Nassau County, western Nassau County, that span all different levels of income, Hewlett Harbor, Hewlett Bay Park, Inwood, and the Rockaways, and we've all been in the dark since this thing has gone down.
When the five towns are in the dark, when Great Neck is in the dark, when Summit, New Jersey is in the dark, you know this is a storm that did not discriminate by socioeconomic status.
By no means. And it's been challenging for everybody. Some of us fortunate enough to have generators are able to power up our refrigerators, and I've even been able to temporarily hook up circuits in the panel for heat for myself and some neighbors. I don't recommend, if you don't know what you're doing, don't even attempt it. But it is a way to temporarily get through this. And we really feel bad for the people in the Rockaways who have no access to any of this. It's cold at night. They don't have food. And there are some issues of crime that the police have been doing a very good job in terms of this location. But at some point, you know, the further away from the date of the storm that we get, the greater the chance that people will resort to desperation. And it's a concern, but I have to say FEMA came by yesterday. They knocked on the door. They asked if everybody was all right. Mm. So, you know, for the most part, you know, things have been going as well could be considering the circumstances.
Thank you very much for checking in from Inwood, Nassau County, John. Anne in Manhattan was in the Rockaways yesterday. Anne, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to express my gratitude to the Rockaway Surf Club for organizing volunteers from through their members. And they are not a wealthy organization like the New York Roadrunners, who had endless generators that they could have shared. This is, you know, these are a group of surfers that basically opened up their little club that's no larger than a parking lot, and have provided water and batteries and shovels to the neighborhood. But what we really witnessed was not just that there was no state or federal aid, but we really needed fit people to go from house to house and to the high rises in the areas where mm-hmm. the sick just can't get to the water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there
and
are
do what? Just physically carry water and
exactly.
food
yes.
up steps to buildings that still don't have power?
Yes. And that is a real need, and it was wonderful to see so many cyclists and it appeared some runners that would have been running the marathon make their way out to the Rockaways, because it seemed to us that is an area that desperately, obviously a lot of callers have called in, but that desperately isn't getting the media attention that perhaps Staten Island or New Jersey are getting.
And thank you very much. And here is Annalisa in Far Rockaway. Hi, Annalisa. Thank you for calling
me. Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you? That's the more important question.
Well, I'm very cold to start. I'm very cold. We don't have light and we don't have heat.
Where are you? But what kind of dwelling or whatever?
I'm in Far Rockaway.
In your house?
I am personally not as bad as others because I didn't get flooded out.
Uh-huh.
But I know people who almost lost their lives. So I am grateful personally. But I think the biggest problem we're going through right now is a lack of communication. I think people are getting food. But there are food available and supplies, but I'm not sure if the information is getting out effectively. Also, because it's cold weather, I think that they should make shorter points, like where people can pick up supplies, because people have to walk so far with their carts to get these supplies. And then we don't have gas to drive to the supply areas. So probably if they would like come like every 2, 3, 4 blocks and then get a bullhorn and you know, announce that mm-hmm. if you need supply, come down to this area.
Which means more people needed to staff it every few blocks instead of...
I understand, but they could do it like for 2 hours in each section.
Yeah, I see.
You know, so to just make everybody who are cold and inside and who can't go too far, especially elderly, you know?
Annalisa, go ahead.
And I think if they do more cooked food for those in the beach 40s and 60s, it would be good because there's no gas instead of, like, you know, the things that they have to prepare. And people need charging for their phones and, you know, just to survive. I think the coldness is getting to people and then the lack of communication. And I was told that FEMA should be in the area today at about 12 by Bravo near the Beach 30 area. I'm not sure how true that is.
And where are they? That's something that we're going to ask. Where all the positive response there has been to President Obama's leadership, where is FEMA? There are starting to be complaints.
Well, I know that they were taking information at Central Avenue for people who might need help with FEMA.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told last night by a lady that she heard that FEMA is going to come at the Bravo Shopping Mall in about Beach 30th Street there about midday today. So I'm not sure how true that is, though.
Oh, well, let's hope. Annalisa, thank you very much for checking in. I hope everything is okay with you and your family and your neighbors. And, yeah, she talks about the cold. The cold is going to be only an increasing problem. And look, people die of hypothermia. So you have to get warmth somehow to people who are stranded without heat. And whether that's just blankets or whether that's moving people who are particularly sensitive to it, this is going to be an increasing issue, I think, in the coming days. And we're not even talking yet about the next storm system that we're fearing as another nor'easter on Wednesday into Thursday, but we'll get to that later.